Reading from Bridge of Birds, A Novel of an Ancient China That Never Was, by Barry Hughart. Chapter 7, A Great House. When I had recovered enough to take stock of my surroundings, it gradually dawned on me that the monster had decided upon 7 great-grandchildren some time ago, and that her granddaughter would be ordered to see to it that they were 12 years old at birth. I was lying in the dormitory of the boys who were going to aid in overthrowing the Tang dynasty, and I will confess that I wept when I considered the life that my poor children were to lead. 7 small beds were aligned side by side with geometric precision. 7 small desks were placed precisely in front of them, and the writing brushes lay exactly 3 inches to the right of the inkstones. Nothing in that cold, inhuman room was so much as an eyelash out of alignment, and that included the signs on the walls. Some were Kung Kuo Yo, tables of demerits, and I will give you an example. Each demerit is to be punished by strokes of the birch rod. Exciting lustful thoughts in oneself. 5. Showing one's nakedness when easing nature at night. 2. Lewd dreams. 2. If such dreams occasion lewd actions. 10. Singing frivolous songs. 5. Studying frivolous songs. 10. Not yielding the way to a woman. 10. If at the same time one looks at the woman. 20. If one looks longingly at her. 30. If one conceives lewd thoughts about her. 40. Insolence to a woman. 50. Insolence to the ancestress. 500. If such insolence is recurrent, decapitation. Other signs were lessons to be memorized, and my frightened eyes jerked from one to another. Now and then, in my dreams, I find myself in a classroom with fragments of lessons plastered all over it. The effectiveness of the flamethrowers known as Menghuo Yu may be enhanced by the addition of pulped bananas and coconuts to the oil, which will cause the fiery mixture to stick to the flesh. The fire drug will release deadly gas upon explosion with the addition of 5 ounces of Lang Tu, 2.5 ounces of pitch, 1 ounce of bamboo fibers, 3 ounces of arsenic oxide. An excellent poison can be swiftly produced under field conditions by boiling 2 baskets of oleander leaves, distilling the essence, and adding 3 ounces of dried aconite tubers. At sea, a simple extraction of the sac of the blowfish. A more subtle approach was employed by Wang Shi Chen, who presented his victims with pornographic novels after smearing the edge of each page with arsenic. And when the victim licked his finger to turn the pages. Testicle crushers are easily manufactured by. Severed heads may be preserved for display by. I slid down and pulled the covers over my head, and I did not emerge until I heard the door open, and a familiar voice said, "What a stroke of luck! Your engagement is a godsend. Incidentally, how did you like the winsome damsel who recently ruled China?" I jumped up and embraced him. "Master Li," I sobbed, "if my fiancée resembles her grandmother in any way, I can never go through with this." A happy thought suddenly occurred to me. "But if we're engaged, I won't see her until the wedding." "Normally, that would be the case. But an exception has been made because you've already seen almost all of her," he said. "She was the one in the carriage with the pretty jade pendant between the pretty breasts. Don't worry about it. All you have to do is to take an occasional stroll with her in the gardens, while I figure out whom we have to kill in order to get the root of power." "But the ancestress," I quavered. "Has not recognized me," said Master Lee. "Her natural distaste for fortune-hunting criminals has been reinforced by my unfortunate habit of rolling my eyes, drooling saliva, giggling at inopportune moments, and popping my cheek with an unwashed finger. I doubt that she will seek out your company, and all you'll have to worry about will be your fiancé, her father, and the butler." My future father-in-law turned out to be the sweetest and gentlest of men, and as a scholar he bowed only to Li Kao. Ho Wen had earned second place in the Qin Shi examinations, and I would have had to enter Hanlin Academy to find two such minds under one roof. The contrast between them was fascinating. Li Kao would toss an idea into the air and watch it sparkle, and then he would toss a second one, and then he would send handfuls of associated ideas spinning into space, and when they returned to Earth, they would be neatly linked into a necklace that fit perfectly around the throat of the subject. Ho Wen, on the other hand, was a plodding, one-step-at-a-time scholar who never made a mistake, and whose memory was so prodigious that not even Li Kao could match it. I once asked him the name of a distant mountain, and this is the answer that I received. "The sacred mountains are five in number: Hengshan, Changshan, Huashan, Taishan, and Songshan, with Taishan leading in rank and Songshan in the center. Mountains not sacred, but very distinguished, include Wutang, Tianmu, Tianchu, Tianmo, Niuxi, Omei, Xunher, Qichu, Qihua, Kongtong, Chunyu, Yentang, Tiantai, Longmen, Qiuku, Jiuyi, Xiher, Bakung, Huqiu, Wolong, Niuchu, Baotu, Peiyo, Huangshan, Pichi, Qinshu, Liangfu, Zhuanglang, Maku, Tulu, Peku, Qinshan, Jiaoshan, and Zhongnan. Since the mountain to which you refer is none of these..." "Oh," I moaned, "it might not be too rash to conclude that it is Kuang Fu, although I would not like to be quoted in the presence of the ancestress, because the slightest mistake can mean instant decapitation." Li Kao immediately grasped the potential of Ho's memory. He told him to drop our titles when we were alone and address us as Li Kao and Number 10 Ox. And at the first opportunity, he turned the subject to ginseng. Ho's eyes lit up, but before he could begin a discourse that might last several weeks, Li Kao asked him if he had ever heard of a great root of power. Even Ho Wen had to stop and think about that. And then he said, slowly and hesitantly, "I was 4 years old, visiting a cousin at the Blessings of Heaven Library in Luoyang." He paused for more thought. "Third basement, fifth row on the left, second rack from the top, behind Chu Pi Mathematics, I found Chang Chi's Typhoid Fever and Other Diseases, behind which I found the 16 volumes in 52 rolls of Li Shi Chen's Outline of Herb Medicine, behind which I found a mouse's nest. I was chasing the mouse at the time. In the nest was a scrap of parchment with a pretty picture that was labeled Great Root of Power. But the parchment had been so badly chewed that I could not make out what species the root belonged to." He squinted and pursed his lips as he tried to visualize the picture. "It was a very strange root," he said. "There were two tiny tendrils that were the legs of power, two more that were the arms of power, and a fifth tendril that was the head of power. The central mass of the root was the heart of power, which was labeled the ultimate. Unfortunately, the mice had devoured everything else, so I do not know what the word ultimate referred to. I very much doubt that the root was ginseng, because I have never heard of ginseng that resembled it." His interest in ginseng had a specific origin. One day, a grave was being dug in the family cemetery, and a shovel had pitched out some fragments of clay tablets. Ho Wen had instantly recognized ideographs of immense antiquity. He had persuaded the workmen to gather every fragment that there was, and then he had settled down to an impossible task. The fragments were almost illegible, but he was determined to decipher the text or die in the attempt. His face was flushed with pride when he took us to his workshop and showed us the tiny clay fragments and the theories of mathematical probability that he had devised to suggest the sequence of characters in the ancient script. He had been working on it for 16 years, and already he had deciphered 10 whole sentences. And if he lasted another 16 years, he hoped to have 4 whole paragraphs. One thing he was sure of, it was a ginseng folk or fairy tale, and it was one of the oldest known to man. Ho Wen had no money of his own. In my innocence, I assumed that the distinction of his scholar's rank was worth more than money, but I soon learned otherwise. I suspect that the rich are the same in every country, in that money is their sole standard of value. And was Ho Wen referred to as Master Ho? Venerable Scholar Ho? Second most learned of mortals Ho? Not exactly. He was referred to as Henpecked Ho, and he lived in mortal terror of the ancestress, his wife, her 7 fat sisters, and his daughter. In a great house, a poor scholar's status is just slightly higher than that of the boy who carries away the night soil. There was no resemblance whatsoever between Henpecked Ho and his daughter. My bride-to-be was a startlingly pretty girl whose name was Fainting Maid. I assumed that the unusual name came from a line of poetry, but I learned better on our first stroll through the gardens, when we were chaperoned by Li Kao and her father. "Hark!" cried Fainting Maid, pausing on the path and pointing dramatically. "A cuckoo!" "Well, I am a country boy." "Nay, my beloved," I chuckled, "it is a magpie." She stamped a pretty foot. "It is a cuckoo." "Precious one, the magpie is imitating a cuckoo," I said, pointing to the magpie that was imitating a cuckoo. "It is a cuckoo!" "Light of my life," I sighed, "it is a magpie." Fainting Maid turned red, turned white, reeled, clutched her heart, and screeched, "Oh, thou hast slain me!" Then she staggered backward, lurched to the left, and gracefully swooned. 2 feet back, 6 to the left," her father sighed. "Does she ever vary it?" Li Kao asked with scientific interest. "Not so much as an inch. Precisely 2 feet back and 6 feet to the left. And now, dear boy, you are required to kneel and bathe her delicate temples and beg her forgiveness for your intolerable rudeness. My daughter," said Henpecked Ho, "is never wrong, and I might add that never in her life has she been denied anything that she wanted." Is it possible that among my illustrious readers there may be one or two who are contemplating marriage for money? I have a very clear memory of a golden afternoon when the butler was instructing me in the etiquette of a great house. Henpecked Ho's beloved wife and her 7 fat sisters were sipping tea in the garden of 40 felicitous fragrances. Fainting Maid was insulting the intelligence of her ladies-in-waiting in the gallery of precious peacocks. And the ancestress was chiding a servant who had dropped a cup on the terrace of 60 serenities.
The cook hands the guest a ladle with an engraved handle and a stand which is placed west of the tripods, said the butler. The guest takes the handle of the ladle with his right hand, palm inward, and lays the ladle alongside the stand.
Off with his head!
Roared the ancestress. Then, continued the butler, he faces east at the west of the tripods to receive the food that is his due and that is determined by his attire, beginning with the state umbrella that is displayed by his servants.
Gobble, 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 gobble,
squawked Henpecked Ho's wife and her 7 fat sisters. The umbrella of 1st and 2nd rank officials have yellowish black gauze covers, red raw silk linings, 3 tiers and silver spires, and the umbrellas of the 3rd and 4th rank officials are the same, except that the spires are red.
Oh, forgive me, my lady. Of course the gentlewoman's guide to needlepoint was written by Confucius,
wailed a lady-in-waiting. The umbrellas of the 5th rank, said the butler, have blue gauze coverings, red raw silk linings, 2 tiers, and silver spires, and those of the 6th through 9th rank have blue oiled raw silk coverings, red raw silk linings, 1 tier, and silver spires.
Deposit the corpse in the pigsty, roared the ancestress.
Enough.